Hi, Ollie Payne. Welcome to Goalie Talk. Nice to see you, mate. How are things?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks. Good to be here.
Good. Do you like my new background?
Love it. Absolutely. You sure? Love it.
It's not too much.
No,
I did it especially for you.
Yeah, love it.
Good. So where are you at the moment?
I'm in Devon.
Oh, right. How's it down there?
Bit gloomy, but it's all right. It's all right. Can't complain.
It is a beautiful part of the world. I am, as you know, from Devon. Many very good goalkeepers are from the West Country, to name a few. Harry Gibson, Matty Hinch, Steve Bayer. I'm not going to put myself in that mix. But, you know, if you want to put me in the mix, that's absolutely fine. Don't worry about it.
You said it, not me.
Okay. I'm probably missing a few, actually. As well, Toby Reynolds-Cottrell, good friend of yours.
Yes, yes.
Millfield boy. Laura Myers, also Millfield.
It still counts.
Yeah, and there's a few others in there. So, yeah, there must be something in the water.
Yeah.
Good. Well, great to have you on, mate. Obviously, it's been an exciting few weeks for you. We'll come on to exactly why a little bit later. But I kind of wanted to get started with sort of who you are, where have you come from, your hockey timeline since the beginning and the first time you put pads on. So, yeah, talk us through where sort of how it all began.
So it all began probably when I was 7, year 8 at secondary school. Kind of started playing football when I was like walking, got a bit fed up of football, played a bit of rugby. Everyone else got bigger, so I had to stop rugby. Then kind of went down to a local club in Totnes, here with mum and my sister, and saw that people were keeping and kind of got involved then, and it kind of stuck. So I played down at Dart Hockey Club here.
Is that a big club? No,
tiny club. Two men's sides, three women's sides, family club. Really nice. Had lots of good fun down here. Played for a season, I think, down here. And then when I was 15, joined Exeter Uni as an affiliate.
Yeah, because I remember coming down and doing some coaching and seeing you train among some of the other goalkeepers that were there back in the days when you were using a different kit brand, won't mention it. And from what I saw, was a very sort of quick, agile, saw the ball really, really well sort of goalkeeper. But I also saw somebody that despite being 15 and with a load of sort of 19, 20, 20-year-old, you know, blokes that are a little bit more worldly, a little bit more experienced, maybe not, but you gelled within that group really well. I thought, not from just the playing point of view, but from how you operated sort of among them, just from a social point of view, which it can't always be that easy. But I do remember seeing a young Ollie Payne in some black foam, I think it was at the time. It was Griffin. I'm just going to throw it out there. And I just remember you just connecting with the ball unbelievably well for a 15-year-old. Do you know, like, do you remember that particularly?
Yeah, I do.
Recognize that?
I think that was my second season. So I was probably a bit more comfortable with the guys because the season before, I just floated around basically. I played a pre-season game for the ones, but then I played league games for the twos, threes, fours, fives. So that year was just getting to know uni students, kind of how they operated, and then I kind of knew loads of people in the club, so I did feel kind of comfortable. And like, if people chat to me, I'm happy chatting to them, and that's probably why I felt so comfortable. And then that second season was when I then played first team, and that's when you would have seen me. I really, really enjoyed my time at Exeter. It was really good fun.
Well, I had a couple of seasons at Exeter myself, also as an affiliate. It is good fun down there. It's a good crowd. It's a good social. The hockey's good. Nobody likes coming to Exeter because it's miles away, so that always helps for home games. But conversely, when you're going to Manchester or even London or anywhere else, I think the closest game that we had was sort of Reading away, so that's still 2.5 hours in the car. But yeah, it's good. Great facilities there, and the coaches there are pretty passionate about it. I think that's what I also found when I grew up playing in Devon as well. Just on a side note, just you get a lot of passionate coaches down there. A lot of people that are investing in not just your hockey development but your personal development as well, and just seems to be a really sort of good vibe down there. But, what did you do after Exeter?
Yeah, so from then after sixth form, went to uni at Durham. Had 3 years at Durham, which were equally brilliant years. Had a lot of fun up there, and basically just two ends of the country, and kind of similar. It's 3 hours anywhere you go. No one likes going up to Durham because it is cold and miserable up there, but it is, well, if you're up there, it's brilliant. I had 3 interesting years up there.
Why did you say interesting?
So it wasn't like, on paper, it looks like I've had 3 really good years. And I have had 3 very fun years. But in terms of the hockey, my first season, I kind of, trying to break into the first team, there was Ori, who's played for Surbiton and stuff, really good keeper. He was the first team keeper. So I was competing with him and trying to balance kind of being a fresher. Got that a little bit wrong. Wasn't playing that well, so played second team for most of the season, actually, and then just came in for the end, which went fairly well. And then my second year, I then dislocated my shoulder, so I was out for 4 months. So that was a lot of just rehab.
So like I've that. Seen I've seen the video of you doing it of the I've seen the video of you dislocating your shoulder.
Yes,
it's pretty inconspicuous, isn't it?
Yeah,
like, you don't look as though you've done anything really bad.
Well, I knew I'd dislocated it. So I was on the floor and I said to, can't remember who it was, like, my shoulder's just come out. But it did go, it wasn't like out and hanging out. It wasn't like that. Because there was a ball, the ball was like around. So yeah. I then moved with like momentum and stuff and it just went back in. But it wasn't nice.
So when you, because I, okay, goalkeeping injury wise, yeah, the shoulder, because can be a problematic injury, so ongoing, but you've had no problems with it since?
No. The like support I've had with, because I was in the EDP as well to go alongside the Durham stuff, and kind of the support of the physios, and doctors, and who I've seen either through Durham or my main contact was through Loz at EDP, was just brilliant. And they really made sure that I was, if I was coming back. So we basically decided not to have surgery and then came back and it was like, it's not going to come out again. We're going to make sure that you're properly ready. You're not going to go back in too early, which was frustrating because I felt like I was, a month before, I felt like I was fine. Yeah. Like it was just like, no, let's make sure you're completely ready.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think that's just sort of, you'd be itching to get back on the pitch. You probably feel like it's fine, but actually, you know, you've got to take the advice from others. I think too many people come back probably too soon from that. And then you just have an injury that keeps happening or it just pops out.
Yeah.
Every so often. I have seen it with goalkeepers before and it's unfortunate. But I mean, just from we're talking about EDP, so the Elite Development Programme, which is essentially sort of your bridge from junior international hockey to senior international hockey, or late developers, or anybody that's aspiring senior international hockey players around the GB ranks. So you're have been in that.
Yeah.
Before that, did you go through the 16s and the 18s with the England pathway?
Yeah. So I did 16s when I was 15, 16, and then did 2 years of 18s, and then went into 21s from there.
And then the 21s was pretty successful for you as well?
Yeah, so got 1 silver at Johor, 2 golds and a silver at Europeans. So every tournament I've been to at 21s, we've been in the final. Oh, no, that's a lie, actually, apart from one.
Okay.
It was a very good, very good 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, really successful. I think it's kind of led you on to pretty much where you are now, which is quite exciting. Yeah. So how old are you now?
21.
And you have, in the last few weeks, been training with the senior squad as a contracted player.
Yes.
Cool. So talk to us about that, because this is obviously big new news. Be great to get some insight from you about how you felt when you got the phone call or the email or whatever, you or how that even went and who that was from, and then sort of how things have been going since sort of post lockdown training, as well as socially distanced training, as well as sort of being in the senior squad.
Yeah. So got a phone call, I'm not even sure, during lockdown, mid to end of lockdown, from Danny, just saying, basically, just want you in, and when they start, basically get cracking. And that was probably about 9:30 in the morning, and it's probably the happiest I've ever been in on a morning, because I'm not really a morning person. But that was good to talk about. That was a really nice phone call to get. And then it's basically just trying to work and make sure my body's ready to go into training. The nice thing with, and then started coming back kind of just twice a week with the squad. And it's just kind of finding your feet. Because of the lockdown and the coronavirus, at the first couple of weeks, we're like just training twice a week. And then it started to get more and more intense. But that was actually quite good for me. Kind of, I didn't have to hit the ground running. It was just breaking in with everyone else.
And what are the expectations at the moment for you personally, the whole squad? Is it very much, let's just get back to a high level of training tolerance and see how we go from there? Like, have you been given any sort of explicit guidelines about, you know, what they're expecting of you in a short or long term at the moment? Or is it very much like, you know, good luck, see how you go?
So for me personally, and I think the squad will be along the same lines, but I'm not quite sure. But I can talk about me personally, and it's like, it's kind of blocks. So it's like 4 week block and then another like 4 week block and stuff. And this 4 week block that we've just done was kind of just like, get back into it, find your feet, start getting sharp again, and then start looking to improve. And then there's Pro League in October, I think. So it's kind of trying to peak towards then. That's kind of what I've taken from it.
Let's say you didn't get a phone call. What would you be doing otherwise right now? Would you be hunting for a job? Would you be, you know, because you're out of university?
So I've signed for Holcombe. So that's my club for next year. And yeah. I had signed for them in lockdown. So I knew I'd be going up London, Kent area. But if I hadn't got that phone call and it would have gone the other way, I would have just tried to have got a job up there, either through coaching or whatever, basically. And then for the next couple of years...
Well, sport you, mate. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sign you up.
Through
the coach development program, pretty rigorous. I'm not guaranteeing you'll make it, but we'll give it a go.
Well, I would have given it a good crack. I would have done something for like 1-2 years, tried to break in, and then see what happened from there. But yeah, I didn't really. I'm not that great with planning and stuff, so I was just kind of gonna just see what happens.
Funny how you mentioned the planning thing, because I was having a good fun conversation with another goalkeeper that you know relatively well. I won't name names, and they were saying that your cooking is not particularly good. You know, it's very much sort of yeah, whatever you feel like at the time. And potential meal deals were a staple diet up in Durham.
I would like to say on record that I have improved vastly in the last.
Okay, just as a bit of an informal side note, what's your go-to meal?
So I've actually mastered the paella now, like a chicken and chorizo paella. So that's my go-to.
So it's basically a particular rice.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's difficult, it tastes good.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm a great cook, but I know exactly who you're talking about, and she sold me under the river there.
Don't worry. To be honest, this comes from someone that also that I know for a fact has had to learn pretty quickly how to cook not just pasta.
I was going to say she wasn't too much better than me, actually.
Okay, we'll move on from that. So how have you do you think you've been training since lockdown? I mean, everybody's dusting off the cobwebs and getting rid of a bit of rust. I think everybody's been working physically pretty hard in lockdown. I think every single S&C coach has been like, great, we've got unadulterated time during lockdown just to get everybody fit, running, no hockey getting in the way of that, and they can probably have the run of things, but also give people a proper rest. How have you felt from a physical point of view, but also from a pure goalkeeping, making saves? How have you felt since you've been back on the pitch?
I felt all right. I'm a bit sore once we start getting into more and more gameplay stuff, because obviously at first it's all socially distanced, and so that was just more shots, and you can just start just try and see the ball again, basically. And that's just kind of, I actually don't mind having a lot of, I actually quite liked it I find there are points in the season where you play so much, you can get into your own head and start overthinking everything. And you try not work on things, but then you're constantly thinking, oh, was this wasn't absolutely perfect. And then actually just taking a complete break, coming back and just playing, you actually kind of forget that you can play before thinking about all of these things, you know? And that's what I've liked. And so I felt all right. It's just the it's kind of like seeing the ball. That's what I'd, getting used to the pace of the ball again and kind of how quickly. So what I found was first couple of weeks, I was quite surprised by like, oh, the shots come in. If that makes sense. Like I was never like really set anything like that. And that comes with time and kind of having time at cricket. It's like time at the crease, isn't it? So that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Once everybody got back on the pitch, I think about 7 or 8 weeks ago now, we've been running a lot of one-on-ones and small group sessions, which we're going to continue to do for the rest of the summer. So for those that are listening and keen on doing some coaching or doing some training, give us a shout, look on our website, all that sort of stuff. We'll get you back training well. But since we have been back and doing a lot of coaching, we have noticed that one, everybody remembers that they love it. Everybody remembers that, you know, why they want to play in goal. They don't forget as much as they think. Some have come back pretty nervous about not being able to play particularly well, not being back where they were, and those expectations have to be sort of met with a bit of realism and going, you know what, you might not be as good as you were, but you might be better because you're just thinking about the ball, just thinking about making saves. You're not worrying about your hand position, you're not worrying about your set position, you're not worrying about other little things of timing, and things just, yeah, are clearer. I think the one really useful thing for me as a coach is that you see what's stuck in, you see what's ingrained in people's ability, and you see more contrastly what's not there. So you can either go, okay, well, we definitely need to work on that some more, or that's just never going to be one of their strengths or something that they might not be able to do. So let's maybe move on and do it in a different way. But you have that contrast then just becomes way clearer. And I think we've got to keep reminding ourselves of that. I also think that a longer break has done most people more good than anything else, as long as they've kept relatively fit. Yeah, they get back on the pitch and then to just reset themselves. And I think too many people go through a season and don't have a long enough break for that, for like both mental and physical reasons. So I'm kind of really happy with how goalkeepers are training at the moment, because it's just a lot of freedom. And then we can get stuck into hopefully what will be a season come September, October, Pro League, and other leagues around the world as well. So I'm really glad to hear that you're sort of cracking along nicely. It'll be really interesting, you know, in a year's time to see how you've reflected on the last year as well, because I think it's a having spoken to Harry Gibson on one of our previous podcasts about how he transitioned into the senior program, what that was like for him, and sort of the pace of the shots and how he acclimatized to that. I think it'd be really interesting to contrast how you know, maybe in a year or two's time, think about your current experience and maybe once you get back into a more full-on training block, pending sort of COVID-19 simmering down a bit, then that'd be really interesting to hear your thoughts as well. But as I've asked a few of the goalkeepers that have been on the pod, we talked about style, and having coached you quite a lot in the last, what, 3 or 4 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say something like that. I would give an interpretation of your style, but what would you say your style is?
So I think, and you will probably have a better opinion from looking on the outside, because it's not always how it goes on in the head, but I like to kind of stay up more so than other keepers. I think that's what immediately springs to mind. My smothering isn't a strength. So I kind of do more upright stuff. And I really just try and kind of not dive or hit the ground at all.
Is that a conscious decision that you've gone like, or is that just something you do? You would have always been staying on your feet more often.
So I think it started, I played on a really, really bad sand base. So that probably played a part at the start, in which meant you can't really slide. So it's kind of, you do other things. I also used oboe for about a year. And oboe, keepers that use oboe can slide and stuff, and that's brilliant. But I didn't. So that also was... there's no right or wrong, but for me, it suited me because I didn't hit the ground as much. And that probably from 16 to now kind of has shaped what I kind of do by not smothering. It's not to say that I don't do it, but I try and use other methods as much as possible, subconsciously just doing it. And then other than that, I can't really tell you what my style really looks like. I think you'd be better to explain. I'm not too good at kind of talking about what I'm good at.
Maybe that's something you need to get used to.
Mm.
Maybe. Look, I think you're right. I definitely think you are a goalkeeper that stays on your feet more often. I think you are good at that, and you know how to operate in those situations. I think what's interesting for me from a coaching point of view is how, like, why you do that. That's why I asked about whether that's a conscious decision or not, and you go on to talk a bit about kit and the pitch.
Yeah.
And me being someone that when I played mostly with oboe kit when I was younger, sort of in my teens, and then I went across to some other brands that are more so you're wearing Mercian now, so yeah. I wore Mercian for a bit. I spent a little bit of time in Monarch, which are kind of similar in terms of the type of foam and how they're molded together. And then I think I ended up with some Bravo kit at the end. All of which that are different in terms of can you use them, are some better for shot stopping, are some better for groundwork, and you then adapt to how you can use them in better ways. I find, yes, oboe is the kit where you can more easily go to ground, slide, operate on the floor ergonomically. It fits your body better, right? But some people just prefer a different sort of foam, how that feels.
Yeah.
There's a weight side of it, what they're used to, and the pitch that they play on as well. So when I went from So I played at Exeter University as well for a year. Then I went over and played for Wimbledon, where they have so Exeter have a fantastic water-based hockey pitch. You can slide all around, all over the place if you wanted to, right? As long as it's watered. And then you go to Wimbledon, where they have a really lovely sort of hybrid pitch. So when it's dry, it's dry. And you kind of have to stay on your feet. There's no sliding. You either adapt how you go to ground or you don't go to ground.
Yeah.
You do it a different way and you find another way of doing it. So when I'm looking at that and your style, that I'm looking at why you do that. Like, that might be part of it, but also your strength being you, and I think this probably comes from your athletic ability, maybe a bit of football history as well, is that your footwork is very good. Yeah, so you can operate on your feet quite well. Right? Yeah. I can see you getting uncomfortable. I'm giving you a compliment.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. But having said that, when you do make saves on the floor, so when you have to, when it's a real stretch and you've got to fling yourself and you just got to put yourself in the way, or you've fallen over, whatever, trying to grab the ball behind you, you have an ability to recover. So when I talk about groundwork, it's different from smothering or diving, because that's going to ground. So that's probably more approach play. So I would say groundwork is about making saves when having already been on the ground. So whether that's having to just fling yourself from one bit of the floor to another, get yourself away, having to recover from a save before. So that part of your game is really good. But I think in general, when if someone said one word and Ollie Payne, I would just say relaxed. Like, if I look at it, and you can take that one of many ways, I'm sure, because you can be too relaxed.
Yeah.
But that also has its benefits from just being, do you know what? The ball's only going to go in one direction. So let's wait until we see it, and that's all good. And then I'll save it.
Right? Yeah.
Like, it's a simple game.
Going on that, I think kind of what I always think, and if I'm ever I'm like reviewing like what I've done, or you know, analysing my game, I just kind of go off the do as little as possible. That could sound quite badly, but what I mean by that is, like, if you don't need to dive, don't dive, because that is a bigger movement than just kicking it, you know, in a really simple simple way. If you can prevent even touching the ball because if you communicate well, then that's even better, you know? And just kind of, I always just go back to that. Like, am I doing as little as possible? Like, if it's up in the top corner, am I just stepping with my stick in a, like, going through the line, or am I diving? And that's kind of where I want to get to, because I'm definitely not there. And if I look back, even when I started uni, I was so much different to how I am now. So okay. In what way? So kind of diving at penalty corners. I still had like my core stuff. I would still do kind of similar, but I would definitely hit the ground more. I definitely valued, it's not like I don't value smothering now, but I definitely, there were points where I was like, I definitely should have smothered. And now it's like, I would never even think about, like, that wouldn't even come into my mind. Like, in that situation, there are other ways to do that.
Do you think that's part of the, do you still think that particular skill? So
yeah.
we talk about smothering, essentially, that is going to ground, approaching the play, trying to get your leg up to the ball and sliding through to maybe meet a 50-50 challenge, something like that. Do you think that's just not part of the international game at the moment, or it's just something you just don't need?
No, it's got nothing. It's more, it's not part of my game. I don't think my skill set is, if you put three cones down either side, I could get through that drill and do the smothering. And it's definitely something that I'm not good. I don't think it's instinctively do. I do feel like there are parts of the game where it can be brilliant. And you see, it's just not, goalkeeping is just not one size fits all. There are like Tobe, Maz, that in the 21s, sorry. I know we mentioned Toby a couple of times, but their smothering's absolutely brilliant and it's a strength of theirs. And they use it and it's and it works perfectly. And there are times where I'm like, if I could do that, then that would have been so much easier. But it's just not part of my the armor at the moment. And that I think that's a simple answer. It's just not a one size fits all. I do think in I can't talk too much about the international game, but certainly at 21s, EDP, it is still part of the game. There are still times and places where you use it.
Yeah, mate, I think that's really... it's fascinating from my sort of coaching brain and point of view. And it's also interesting because I've seen you sort of in 18s and 21s and how that's changed and evolved a bit. Things with that will still happen in the next few years, and I think your game will continue to evolve. I think when you look at all the goalkeepers that are around the world, you know, their game would have moved on, especially in that time frame, because I see a significant difference, and you'll probably be able to add to this from 18s to 21s and EDP.
Yeah.
There are probably different questions that are being asked of you as a goalkeeper in those two age groups, because I think for the way I look at it, if we're talking about the end goal of playing senior international hockey and the best hockey in the world, the game and the challenges at that level are obviously faster, quicker, but in some ways like different. And how we then solve that problem is also means that we have to adapt with it as well. Give you an example where you might have time to dive. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you were younger, and also potentially because of the size of the goal and the fact that, let's maybe take you back to like a 14-year-old Ollie Payne, not as tall as you are now. So to get to the corners would ask something different of you. So, right now that's going to look slightly different because you probably won't have time to load and let's call it like a football dive, for example, and you'll just be an instinctive stretch or extension, something like that. The way the ball is played into the D and how that game as well and how you operate with your defense, whether it's baseline entry or shots that are coming in from deflections or whatever it is, it's different.
Yeah. Like, definitely.
There are significant differences. To have like when you're talking about simplicity and doing not doing too much. So I would call like do less to do more. So give yourself time on the ball. Certainly think with shot stopping that's normally like a big introduction to people hitting the ball a lot harder. Like really how much time have you got to save? Like where do you position yourself in the goal because of that? What do you have an unnecessary trigger movement? Loads of things like that you can get into. But I like having done a lot of work at those age groups that you see that as a big sort of thing to change or adapt or build into someone's game.
Yeah.
Some people take to it pretty easy, pretty quickly. I think you're someone that has. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be where you are now. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah. It does, and the moving up the higher levels, that I think that's something that isn't spoken about enough. Kind of like when you're at 18s, and I was probably a bit smaller, but not too much smaller. And it's like if I could have told myself like if I got my technique sorted and was diving less for the corners, then when it gets quicker, that's when you pull out the dive. So then you're just preparing yourself for the next level. And then, so by doing less, it means when you go up a level, then the ones that you were finding easy are then more challenging. And then you pull out dives when they get even more challenging. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes total sense. I think you've got to be aware of the fact that, you're also learning to see the ball in different ways and you're learning how you go about saving them. So at the start, that might be an exaggerated movement anyway. And then you learn how to go, right, I can actually make that more efficient. I don't have to give away so many rebounds because I can actually not just save the ball, but have good habits and try and get that ball in a safer space off the baseline through a gap, whatever it is, onto a an attacker's foot, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And the baseline stuff's really interesting. I think that has really changed from looking back from 16s, 18s, 21s. Kind of my always, from the 16s, 18s, it was always the little T spot. Kind of once they get in there, you go. And now it's like, you just don't have time because people, the attackers are too good. And it's, and then it's more of a decision making. Like if they don't have, they don't have control over the ball, then yeah, license to go. But yeah, if not, like what are you doing? Like why are you flying out? Because yeah, they'll just pass it around you. It's yeah, better just to stay put and then make them beat you. And that's, they're the sort of things that are really changing just because of people are now attacking the wide stuff more because people are like cramping insides. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. Without going into too much detail about baseline entry and boring everybody sensitive, yeah, although it might be very interesting for them. I think, yeah, just in general to think about your style, like I said, for me, it's relaxed. You make strikers' lives difficult by asking them to do something else, by staying on your feet, by being in the way between the ball and the goal. And as simple as that, sometimes that's all we need to do. Because they've got to think about, you know, either hitting the corner of the corners, or they have to try to go around you. So thinking about the future, Ollie, you've heard a lot about your past and where you've come from and how you've got to where you are now. And it's been really interesting so far, but you're 21 and in the senior squad. What are your ambitions? What are your aspirations? What are your expectations? Or are you just riding the wave at the moment?
Riding the wave at the moment, but I'll be kind of doing myself a disservice if I was to just say I'm just going to play and kind of enjoy it. Kind of the major, I just want to be a part of the major tournaments, basically. World Cup, Commies, Olympics, obviously. And just going to, whenever that may be, just going to try and be as good as I can be. And then they will start coming up. At the moment, in the next year, I'm really just going to try and get up to speed and just play and train as hard as I can and just try and get up to speed. And because like George and Harry are like fantastic goalies, and then I can just learn off them. Kind of I've seen where they're at, and yeah. So in the next year, I just really want to just work hard, and then after that, major tournaments basically. It's kind of why you play.
And do you have any major? Might sound like a wrong question, but do you have any major fears going into sort of the next? Well, in the block that you're in at the moment, is there anything that you, that you think about, that you worry about?
It's not a fear as such, but I am very aware that people peak at different times, and I could well have reached my limit and then not kick on from here. And that's just how it goes. So that's you've got to be aware of that really as well. And that's the only thing that comes to mind with that.
I don't think you're there yet, mate. I think you're all good. Yeah, you got.
But we'll see. We'll see. That's the only amount of time. yeah.
No, I definitely think that is that's a really interesting topic all in itself. I think you get people that are late developers as well, and people that just keep going from like the big moment they put the pads on, and then just keep getting better and better and better. And by the time they're in their 30s, that's probably just the time to stop. I mean, you've got goalies all around the world. I mean, the first one comes to mind, like Kiko Cortez. He's 37, I think, at the moment, and he's been around the international setup for absolutely ages, yeah. And arguably getting better with age as well. So, lots of time to develop, lots of time to improve. I think your comment about just making sure that you put in a good shift and wanting to be the best and putting in the work, and especially this stage where it's pretty fundamental. you're going to get to where you want to go, I'm sure. And it's exciting times. And it's especially exciting for me, just having seen you as a youngster, getting up and being where you are at the moment. Also, the fact that you're a Devon boy helps as well. Yeah, I'm kind of excited to see where Ollie Payne goes. One thing I have done with the goalkeepers that have been on the podcast is, I've asked what you would give what advice you would give to either a young goalkeeper now or a young Ollie Payne that you wish you'd known about a little earlier. This is the curveball, by the way, that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, that is interesting. I would say, going through the age group stuff, and wherever that may be, whether it's county, it was GRPC when I did it, I think it's now performance centres, et cetera, just don't compare yourself to the other keepers. Like, there's always like, oh, I need to be better than this goalie in training because they're number one, or I want to be better. It's like, just be like, focus on you, like what your strengths are, what you're bad at, get better at those, and then keep doing that. Don't think this person can do this, so I need to be able to do this. Where it's like, no, just be the best of you. That's what I'd say. Because you can get so worked up with selection, what other keepers are doing, all of that, and just be like, and then it takes away what you should actually be thinking about is about you.
Great message. Control the controllables.
Control the controllables.
Yep. You be you. I think that's a great message, and something that we need to make sure everybody thinks about as well, especially if they're a young goalkeeper, because you got to think about yourself. Great. Amazing. Fantastic talk to you, Ollie. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you've enjoyed your first podcast with Fortune Goalie Talk. I've had a blast. Wish you all the best with the training. And hopefully see you on the pitch in a senior GB shirt as soon as possible.
Thank you very much, Tom. Enjoyed it.